Welcome to the Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 131. I am your host, Adam Mangum. I'm joined in this episode by my brother, Matt, to celebrate our return to the podcast after 6 weeks of business travel and computer troubles. But I have a Mac now, so the computer troubles hopefully are over. In this episode of the podcast, Matt and I preview the big Fight Hunger Bowl and the matchup against the University of Washington, and some of the things that might make it very interesting, some of the things that might make it more interesting, such if Sarkisian had remained the coach. We also talk about the Hoots team, take a barometer check there, and then we also preview every bowl game until December 31st on New Year's Eve. Once again, this is the Rise and Shout Podcast. Check us out on iTunes. Always look out for us at loyalcougars.com and listen to us right now. Matt, welcome back to the podcast, dude.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah, pretty exciting. It's been like 6 weeks or something.
Like 6 years.
I think people thought we were dead.
Yes, I think they did, actually. I believe that somebody sent out the search party tweet at some point a few days ago.
Yes, they did. And it was quite exciting.
It was, mostly because they found us and we're still alive. That was the part I was the most excited about.
Yeah, I was quite excited about that myself. So, Matt, we're not going to go back and rehash history. We're not going to talk about Nevada or a lot of things. We're going to talk about the future.
Yeah, I'm not here to talk about the past. Mark McGwire.
That's right.
I'm here to talk about the future.
You're just like Mark McGwire.
I have a lot in common with Mark McGwire. Just like old times. You're getting right back at it, aren't you?
I'm thirsty, man. A little Dr. Pepper goes a long way.
There you go.
Oh, wow, that is wonderful sugar. Tickling my tongue. All right. So here we go, Mags. Today we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to talk. Now, one of the reasons we should let people know, one of the reasons we haven't done a podcast, I've been traveling for work, so that's part of it. The other part is my PC crashed, and I am now a complete Mac nerd. I have a Mac.
Look at you.
Yes, it's very fancy.
You've been sucked in.
I've been sucked in. Apple has their corporate claws. They've got me. I am their prisoner now.
Well, at least you know it, right? I mean,
you're
kind of willfully just like handing your soul over.
Yeah, I can hand my soul over.
That's fine.
If it means my computer actually starts up.
Oh, there you go. That's probably worth it then.
So I don't know if there'll be fancy intro music or an intro or anything at the beginning of this, quite frankly. Because I'm not exactly sure how this is all going to work. But I'll just put it this way. What we're going to do now, Matt, you and I, is we're going to talk about the bowl game with BYU.
Excellent.
We're going to talk a little bit about basketball and where they're at. And then we're going to do, for the third or fourth year? Is this the fourth time we've done this? Where we've previewed every single bowl game?
I think so.
And not only will we preview them, Matt, we will preview them in a completely ridiculous way that... Because we are completely unqualified to do so.
Oh, absolutely.
Having never seen some of these teams play.
I didn't even realize some of these teams existed.
Yes. That's a good point. Or were bowl eligible.
Did you know that there were like five teams that were bowl eligible that will not be bowling this year?
Well, I feel really bad for those 6-6 teams. They really earned it.
Some years the bowls have got to go get waivers from the NCAA because there's not enough bowl eligible teams.
Well, you know, things happen, and when those things happen, I don't know. I was going to say something pithy, but I got nothing.
Yeah, actually, I think that comment started all wrong. I kind of knew from the beginning that you really had nowhere to go there.
I had nowhere to go, absolutely nowhere. So Matt, let's start with the bowl game. Okay, this bowl game would be much more exciting. If what, Matt?
If it were a BCS bowl game, that'd be pretty exciting.
Oh, okay. Let's stay in the realm of realism. What has happened to the Washington Huskies that has made this game a little less exciting?
Oh, there's a specific thing you're after here. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. It would be more exciting if Steve Sarkisian were still on the roaming the sidelines.
Yes.
For the Washington Huskies.
Yes, that would be more exciting. So I mean, when this was announced, when this was a possibility, I was like, this would be awesome. Us versus Sark, you know. And then it's kind of like, oh, So Matt, is this, has it lost luster, or do you think I'm just being a whiny baby?
I feel like the Sark thing was just an added bonus. I mean, you know, as far as the game goes, I think it's going to be an exciting game. It's a pretty good matchup, actually. So part of me says, yeah, you're just being a little bit of a whiny baby.
That's fair.
It's not like their starting quarterback is hurt or some, you know, or Sankey's been suspended or something. You know, I mean, they've still got the full complement of players that they've had, and I think we're going to face a pretty good team.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a
granted, it's going to be, you know, we got a first-time head coach kind of at the helm. You know, quarterback's coach Tui Asasopo will be leading the team out in this one, and I think there's that could get interesting.
Yes, it could.
But I don't feel like this game's lost luster because Sark's in L.A.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. And we'll get back to him in a minute after we do the bowl game. So, Matt, as we look at the Huskies and we look at this game, you know, BYU ends up, I don't know, some people would say limping to the finish, which I think is fair. It lost two of the last four. And, you know, after that nice win streak in the middle of the year, the loss at Wisconsin, which we were there, beating Idaho State, who cares, loss at Notre Dame, and then a Nevada game that, quite frankly, wasn't exactly a banner game, right?
Right. I mean, they showed up flat. It did not look great.
No, they did not look great. They came back, though, but it wasn't a game that exactly inspired confidence as in the team. So just barometer check. It's been weeks, of course, since that game, and it'd be like a month between games. But do you think that matters, the momentum at the end of the year? Or do you think because of all this time off, kind of really doesn't matter what that momentum was the last few weeks of the season?
Oh, I think that momentum going into the end of the season is crucial coming into bowl preparation. You know, you look at some of the things that Broncos said about, you know, they're not doing anything really different than they've done in recent years, but it feels like he's describing it differently. The time off for finals and these types of things. And he made some comments on the coaches show with Greg Rubel about, you know, they needed a break from me and I needed a break from them. You know, it sounds like as we got to the end of the season here, this team was really feeling the effects of the grind. Really feeling the impact of losing two of those last four, and kind of limped into the couple weeks off before bowl preparation. So, you know, I think that clearly is something that, from a coaching staff standpoint, I'm sure they're trying to keep an eye on and manage. And I think it impacted. I think what we saw at the beginning of the Nevada game was a team that was just worn out.
Yeah.
And you know, if you go into if the little bit of time off before bowl preparation didn't fix that, it's only going to get worse, which could spell disaster as far as bowl preparation.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's disconcerting about that end of the season was, so you had Taysom Hill as a quarterback, played pretty poorly in two of the first three games of the year, and then really well against Texas, right? Though he didn't. His pass completion percentage was pretty bad, but when you rush for 15 yards a pop, I'd say that's you get a pass there. And then we went on a really good string, looked really good as a passer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until Wisconsin, and right. then he looked pretty mediocre the last four games of the year. Quite frankly, even against Idaho State, as a passer, he didn't look real great. Now Idaho State, who cares? We killed him. But he did not light them up, statistically speaking. Notre Dame, he was pretty mediocre passing. And Nevada, though he completed a high percentage of passes, it was 18 attempts for 98 yards. I mean, that's not good. So that's the part, I mean, that worries me. And then the defense just kind of disappeared, right? I mean, mm-hmm. after that Georgia Tech game, it looks pretty ugly. 46 points to Houston, a few yards to Boise State, but their offense isn't great. Wisconsin rushing game just lit them up. Notre Dame lit them up. And Nevada got, you know, more yards than I think I would have thought they would against the defense. So as we look at those things, Matt, I mean, is your worry meter on this 0 to 10 that we're just overmatched here? Where are you at on that?
I'd probably put myself at a 7.
Okay, I would as well.
You know, I think there's some real concern here. The bigger concerns for me are around the defense. I think that, you know, the past couple of years especially, I've felt like, you know, and then this defense is good enough to keep us in games, and as long as the offense can get something clicking at some point. But right now, I feel like the defense has really been exposed towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
And coaching staffs are able to look at some film and put together a formula to score points on this defense. And, you know, we get into a shootout with an offense that seems to be sputtering as of late. We could have some real problems.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the other part is with the injuries in the defensive backfield, you know, in those last few games, you know, one of the things I've heard a few people say, what happened to Van Noy? I don't think anything happened to Kyle Van Noy. I think, unfortunately, he got schemed for a lot, but towards the end of the year, he was playing more defensive back than he played linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he was out there matched up on wide receivers, you know, against Nevada and some against Notre Dame as well. I mean, you look at that and you say, you know, we're playing people out of position because we don't have enough guys on the defensive side. And because of the fact that we can be beat over the top deep, we end up getting torched for runs up the middle because we're like just so afraid of that deep pass or that intermediate passing game, because we just don't, especially with Robertson Daniels and some of the other guys being in and out of the lineup. Now, if everyone's healthy, I feel a little better, but still, it's a little disconcerting when you look at a team like Washington that I think can run the ball. You know, they can run the ball pretty well, and they've got a guy that can pass well enough that I think you know, he's gonna. This is a tough matchup for the defense.
It absolutely is.
I think it's a tough matchup for the defense. So let's talk about the offense. So who is Taysom Hill? Is he the guy that was in the middle of the season that we were starting to think, wow, this is sophomore year, it's coming together, he's maturing as a passer, he's an elite runner? Or is he that guy that, quite frankly, in those last four games looked pretty mediocre? Not as bad as he had looked at the beginning of the year, but not spectacular either.
I'm still a Taysom Hill believer. I think he is the guy we saw in kind of mid-season form. I think what we've seen here is, you know, it took a few games to get the offense installed and to get some pieces around him working well. And I think as the season went on, I think some of what we saw were, you know, defenses scheming a little bit for what we were doing offensively and trying to put him in different positions than I think our staff wanted him in. And then I think the next step is probably the next evolution of the offense is we've got to figure out how to counter that adjustment. We've got to figure out how to force the situations we want, how to force defenses to adjust in such a way that's going to allow us to play to his strengths, you know, which I think we did pretty successfully against Texas. But then as you look at some of the teams that were successful against this offense, I think there's a little bit of a formula in there that defenses are just going to consistently use until we figure something else out. I think the skill set is there. We're just going to have to work a little bit on scheme. And he's still young. I by the end of this season, I think that goes away. You know, by the time you're a junior, I mean, that's not an excuse anymore. But I think for this season and the end of this season, I think that's really the main component here.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any reason to, you know, press the panic button or replace him at quarterback. But I do think that, you know, next year, if we're 5 or 6 games into the season and there's not a whole lot of improvement, you do have to worry. You know, is this the guy that, is he going to finish his career as the starter? You know,
at some point. Yeah, I mean, you can't come out and start next season the way you did 2013.
Oh, gosh, no. They're going to have to do more. And the thing that, I mean, I think had we had a podcast the week after Nevada, we would have, I'm sure, talked about this. 14 penalties, 142 yards. You know, that's just, I mean, now a couple of those were bogus penalties. Okay, so take away 30 yards. All right, which I don't know if that's fair. But, okay, it was 110 yards in penalties and 12 penalties. You know what I mean? Like, It was a ridiculously sloppy game for the last game of the season.
It was absurd.
Do you think they checked out? Was that we lost to Notre Dame, we are in a bowl game, and whatever?
That was a, we have nothing else to play for, we shouldn't really have to prepare very hard to beat this team. I think that's exactly what we saw there, which is disappointing, but that's the reality that we're in right now.
Yeah. I'll tell you who looked really good in that game and all season long, of course, is Jamal Williams.
Oh, yeah.
So as we saw when he was out, the offense doesn't look the same, and it became more of a passing offense, right, when he's injured. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that happened in the Utah game and the Middle Tennessee game. When he is healthy and can run, I mean, you and I were right. After he got hurt against Utah, he never touched the ball 30 times again. And we predicted that at the time.
Right.
After he got hurt, we didn't think he would ever have a 30-carry game again, and he did not. The most he had after that was 21. You know, he had game that, and that game was Boise State. You know, 219 yards rushing on 15 carries against Nevada. And it all started with that 66-yard run in the third quarter, which was phenomenal. So, Matt, let's look at this game against Washington. We'll get to our predictions here in a second. But if we're both, it sounds like we're both saying Washington is a better team. Is that fair?
I think that's probably fair on paper, yeah.
So what has to happen for BYU to come out with the victory? What two or three things have to happen in order for that to take place?
We've got to establish the run game early. In order for this offense to work, and we've talked about that repeatedly, you've got to be able to run the ball on first and second down and create situations of third and four or better. I think that's the first one. And okay. The second one I would mention is we can't give 10-yard cushions to their receivers at the line of scrimmage. We're going to have to figure out a way to cover to play these guys close to the line of scrimmage, but still protect ourselves from giving up the deep pass. Yes. And that, for me, is the much bigger threat and the much scarier thing that we're going to have to do. Because if we give them too much of a cushion, these guys rely on those perimeter passes, screens, and such, those types of plays to receivers out on the perimeter. And if we are giving that up, you know, 5 yards a pop plus the occasional 10, 15-yard gain, there's no way we stop this offense. As for me, that second thing is really the big question mark, is can our defense stop Washington from getting at their bread and butter.
Yeah. And I think to add on to your second point maybe it was your first point about the defense, is we have to have a scheme, Matt, that disrupts what they do offensively.
Yes.
We have to have the sufficient scheme to cause some negative plays, not just not break you know, deep towards the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that run blitzes? Is that, you know, different looks? Is that moving Venoy all over the place so they don't know where he's coming from? Is that, I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously, Coach Mendenhall knows way more about defense than I do, so I'm not going to give any concrete suggestions per se, but it's got to be disruptive. If we just sit back, I just feel like they're going to eventually overrun us.
Yeah.
That they'll eventually overrun us. And the other thing for me that has to happen is Taysom Hill has to throw the ball longer than 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. I mean, right now, I feel like we're back into last season, only in the context of there's no deep passes anymore. In the middle of the season, we were seeing these deep passes, and now it's like, meh, not really.
You know, I wonder if some of that has to do with the health of our wide receiving core. I mean,
I
think Hoffman struggled with this hammy all year.
Yep.
And Oppo's hurt. And so, I mean, those are really the deep threats. And
no,
so
I agree.
Those guys aren't healthy. We really struggle with the deep ball. So if you're right about throwing the ball longer than that, I think we could be in real trouble unless the time off has allowed these guys to heal up.
Well, and I you're right. But, I mean, we've got to be able to – you talked about getting the run game going. I think if you can throw, you got to be able to throw a couple of 15, 20-yard gains down the field to get their linebackers to take a step back on some of those read option plays where it might be a read option pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if you can't, a good defense will the linebackers will stay put. They'll stay put and. You know, a lot of that has to do with, like you said, if we don't have receivers that can create separation at the line of scrimmage, then the linebackers can stay put regardless, right? Because nobody's open downfield even without them helping. So, all right. Well, Matt, what do we do better than nobody else or than everybody else is what I meant to say. What do we do better than everybody else?
We do a lot of things better than everybody else.
That's true. But over and under.
Over and under.
Is what we do better than anybody in the business.
In the business.
That's right. Did you just cuss on this program?
I'm not really sure what I just said.
I'm not sure what you said either. I may have to edit that out. All right. So, Matt, let's start on the BYU side of the ball. BYU offense.
All right. What do you got?
Yards in this game, BYU averaged 488 yards per game. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yards in this game. Oh, and Washington gave up 401 yards per game. Yards 450 over under for the BYU Cougars. Total yards.
Oh, over.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I am not going over. I'm actually going under. But
well, yeah, there's really, if you're not going over, then.
You do have to go under. It is Well, I could have called the kind push.
It's for the most part, this is a binary exercise, but that's fine.
I could have called a push.
Yeah, I guess you could have.
All right, so you're going over, and it sounds like heartily.
Yeah. And oh, I'm walking way over that line. I'm running past it.
All right. Let's talk Taysom Hill. Over under yards passing for Taysom Hill, and let me set it at an even 200.
Under.
Oh, so you think the offense is going to be good, but it's going to be on the ground.
It's going to be done with feet.
So the last time he got over 200 yards was Wisconsin, and just barely. And he completed less than 50% of his passes that day.
I think that this defense is going to do the same thing that Wisconsin and other teams did. Shut the pass down. And make him and force him to run against you. Cover everybody, and make us run the ball all the time. I think that's what they will try to do.
Okay, fair enough. I am actually going to go. This is funny. I'm actually going to go over. I think they're going to shut the run game down. It's what I think is going to happen. But I could be totally wrong. I mean, they're not an elite run defense, right?
No.
They gave up 4.5 yards per carry throughout the year, but they do have a lot of time to prepare for that read option and stuff. So we'll see how imaginative Mr. Nye is in his play calling. All right, Jamal Williams, Matt, touches. Let's set that at 25.5.
Over.
I am also going over. I think though he has not touched the ball that many times except for once since he got hurt, I think this is the time they ride him.
Yes.
As much as they can.
and this is the time that you have to.
Yes.
And I think the break is gonna do him some good. This has got to be a Jamal Williams game.
Yes. Yes, I agree. It has to be. It should be. I hope it is, and I hope it's a good one. So Matt, let's flip over to the Washington side. Okay. Mm-hmm. They average 499 yards a game, a little higher than BYU. Of course, as we know, they are a rushing team, 17th in the country in yards per game rushing. But 499 yards, let's set theirs at an even 4. Let's set theirs at 450. Ours at 450, theirs at 450. Over, under for the Huskies, 450 total yards.
Over.
You think this is a good old-fashioned shootout?
Yes, I do. I think this game is going to be a track meet.
Fascinating. Okay, because we're pretty close on our predictions.
We're predicting two very different games.
Yes, we are predicting two very different games coming up here. But I can see where you're coming from. I don't actually think what you're saying is crazy. I'm going to predict something a little differently. So Matt, as I mentioned, as a rushing team, they average 231.5 yards per game. Set their rushing yards at 185 over under for the Huskies.
Total rushing yards?
Total rushing yards for
over
the Huskies. Over?
Yep.
Over. So you think our defense will not be able to slow down their rushing game?
I don't think our defense is going to slow them down very much in either facet of the offense.
That's a big, powerful offensive line they've got.
They are good. You've got a running back in Sankey who's very good.
Yes.
And has put up good numbers against decent defenses. You also have a quarterback who is really good at the broken down play. So if we can take receivers away and take away some of what they normally do, this is a guy that's going to scramble for 5, 10, 15 yards.
Or scramble long enough for somebody to get open.
Right. But more to the point, coming back to this last over and under on rushing yards, I think that's where they're going to pick up a bunch of those rushing yards.
Yeah.
We'll be on broken plays where the quarterback is going to make something happen. And he's good at that.
He is. So that's scary. So Matt, one more over under before we're done. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Penalties for the Cougars. We're 121st in the country at 8.1 penalties per game. Wow. 121st in the country, dude. That's terrible.
It's awful.
It's terrible. I mean, isn't that coaching?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't we usually say penalties equals coaching and the discipline of that's instilled by the coaches?
And then some of the penalties we're talking about here are just silly. You know, we've got
lots of false starts.
False starts. There were at least two 12 men on the field.
Oh, my gosh.
In Nevada.
I may have been screaming at the television a lot during those.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of that, I mean, that's coaching and that's mental focus. You know, this is especially against Nevada. That was a team that just was not prepared to play football that day.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put it all on the coaching staff. You know, and to some extent, that is the player's responsibility to be paying attention and know their responsibilities. But if it's being communicated very clearly to you, you shouldn't have that much of a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, you really shouldn't. Oh boy, my friend. All right, so let's look at this for a second. So, as we look at this game, it's time for us to predict, my friend. You are predicting a shootout.
I am.
So tell me what you see and your final score here.
I see a lot of yards. I see a lot of points. I think these two teams combine and go north of 1,000 yards total offense together. I think the scoring is going to start early, and it's going to happen often. And it's going to continue throughout the game. And I think where we eventually land is, you know, there's a lot of yards, Be a lot of touchdowns, and you know, as we've done all those over unders, and I think at the end of the game, BYU wins with some late game heroics by a final score of 45-42.
Wait a second, who wins?
BYU wins.
BYU, you're calling the Cougars.
I've got the Cougars in an upset, but they're gonna have to come back in the fourth quarter to do it.
I like it.
I think they score that winning touchdown in the final 3 minutes of the game. I'm going to get really crazy now.
That is pretty crazy, by the way. That is pretty crazy, but I like it. I like it. You're bold. You're bold. I do not see the same thing as you do. I think the BYU defense will come with that aggressive scheme I talked about. And I think our offense will also be stymied quite a bit as well. I see it as a 21-17 victory for the Huskies.
Oh, that's a dagger to the old heart right there.
I think there'll be a lot of turnovers, you know. I don't know. I don't, maybe because I still got a bad taste in my mouth from that Nevada game, I just do not see a pretty game. I don't see a pretty game. Now,
I
Matt.
Think we're looking at two different kinds of ugly when we talk about this game.
Yes, you're looking at like the defense is terrible and we, on both sides, and we both offenses run crazy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying there's just the offenses are inept. And maybe, actually, maybe I'm not predicting an ugly game. I'm predicting a defensive game.
Okay.
I think that their defense, I don't think our offense is playing particularly well right now. Now, maybe these weeks off, they've gotten it together, which would be great. But I don't think Mendenhall's going to let, I think he's a defensive guy, right? If there's something he can do, he can go and scheme defensively and figure that out. So that's kind of my prediction. Now, Washington is favored by 3. And the over-under on points is 60. So you can see I am going under, way under the over-under on points. So I'm disagreeing with Vegas. As their implied score is 31.5 to 28.5, which of course is an impossible score. But the point is they got like a 31-28 shootout. They got a game like you're talking about, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They're predicting something similar to you. I'm not.
Well, I guess we'll see who's right and who is you.
Wow. You're right back into this, aren't you?
Did you see what I did there?
Yeah,
that?
Wasn't that clever? So Matt, let's talk, moving off the bowl game here for a second. Let's talk basketball.
Some hoops.
So can I get up on my soapbox for a minute?
Please.
Would that be okay to do that?
Please, go ahead.
So I am getting a little tired of BYU fans.
Now, oh, this is, here we go.
This is hard for me to say on a podcast. That's
go ahead and sit down, everybody. This is going to be a minute.
We lose to the University of Utah in pretty lousy fashion. Okay. Now, granted, none of us could see the game because it was on some Pac-12 network that's not carried by anyone. But we lose in pretty ugly fashion. Okay. Not a pretty game. Right. This was after losing to UMass and some other losses earlier in the season, which, by the way, we beat a Stanford team that has only one loss, okay, and a Texas team. Between the three of them, they've got 3 losses, okay? But what do the BYU fans see? That we lost to Utah. And Utah's terrible, blah, blah, blah. By the way, Utah may not be terrible, okay? They may actually be good. I know they've been terrible for the last few years. But in basketball, you can turn around pretty darn quick. You know, you get 4 or 5 good guys, and all of a sudden, you're a decent team. Okay? And every team, even good teams, lay stinkers. I don't care if the loss was to Utah. We had a bad loss. It stinks. Move on, guys. And, you know, we'll have the Oregon game, ranked team. We're probably going to lose that game, and then we go into the conference schedule. But, you know, this is not the end of the world. I'm sorry. It's just all those tweets for days after this game about, you know, oh, my gosh, what is Homo doing? We've lost to Utah in both sports. And it's like, I don't know what this has to do. We beat Utah like 8 times in a row. Is that not good enough in basketball? I mean, they weren't going to be terrible forever, right?
Right. I mean, you hope that they would be, right? But this is not reality.
I would hope they're terrible for the rest of my life. But come on. That's not going to happen. And it was a terrible game. I mean, I'm not...
You want them to be good after you're dead?
Oh, good point.
What kind of fan are you?
Good point. But I'm not... And I'm not saying... That's the thing is, I'm not saying that this was a good game. It was a terrible game, you know. But we'll get to our worries about the team here in a second, Matt. But what's your take? Am I too revved up about this?
Maybe, but fans are always like that. And BYU fans, you know, in my experience, are definitely like that.
But the benchmark is not the Utes anymore. It's Gonzaga. If we, truth be told, if we go through and split with Gonzaga and beat St. Mary's twice, who the freak cares if we lost to the Utes?
All of those same fans that were upset about it in the first place.
Yeah, just get over it. It's a loss. It's an ugly loss. It stinks. Move on. Like, it wasn't like that bad of a loss. I mean, it wasn't like the end of the world kind of loss.
It wasn't like that time Texas lost to BYU and fired their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't that kind of game. It was a bad game, a bad shooting night, you know, some turnovers. Though actually, the turnovers, there were only 10 of them. I mean... It just was a bad night shooting.
It was a bad loss. But had it been to any other team of similar caliber,
but that's what I'm saying,
right? Nobody would. It would not be that big of a deal.
Judge them. Utah's a decent team. Are they a great team this year? I don't think so. But they're a decent team. You lost on the road to a decent team who's at this point 9-1, hasn't been beaten at home. It's okay. It's all right. We'll get to back to the things I'm worried about here in a second, but. But I'm not, in whole, I'm not worried about that loss by itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But, you know, I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying.
You better not be.
Whoa, easy there, Tiger. Because I also, I feel like using University of Utah as the barometer for anything at this point is kind of stupid. But for a lot of fans, I mean, that's a big part of the experience. It's a big part of how they feel about the team. And that's the way that it will be forever. Unless, of course, we just stop playing them in all sports, which would be fine with me.
Here's the other thing about it, Matt, is it all this, we're not going to make the tournament garbage when you're 10 games into the season. It's just
way
ridiculous.
Too early at this point.
I mean, yes, we may not. But guess what happens? If we win the conference tournament, it doesn't even matter if we lose 4 to in the regular season to St. Mary's and Gonzaga, right?
I mean, right, and if we go on to do what you said a minute ago, you split with Gonzaga and beat St. Mary's twice, I think we still make it in.
Yeah, yeah, we've got Texas, depending on how they finish out the year, but Texas and Stanford might end up being pretty good teams.
Mm-hmm.
And if that ends up being the case, you've got 2 marquee wins.
Right.
Yeah, you got this ugly loss, but I'm... Most teams have one of these.
A lot of teams are going to have one ugly loss.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to how they do in conference and then at least a decent showing at the conference tournament.
Yeah, so everybody...
You can't lay an egg at the conference tournament.
Of course, I'm telling everyone to chill out as I'm all revved up, but that's kind of my MO.
That's like when your kids are making all this noise and you're like, stop yelling!
Stop yelling!
Stop yelling
you're
right now!
You're giving me a headache! Yeah.
The next person that yells is going to their room.
Yep. And have you ever done that? And then your wife is the next one to yell and you tell her you have to go to room? Don't do that.
I can see that as being a really bad choice.
That was not my finest hour. Okay. So let's talk about the team as a whole, Matt. I mean, I'm a little worried, though, about a couple of players. Okay.
On a basketball level or on a personal level?
Well, I don't know any of them personally.
I just wanted to make sure I knew where we were going here. That's all.
That's cute. Very cute.
He's been eating a lot of candy lately. I think something's wrong.
I don't know. So, Matt Carlino. We talk more about Matt Carlino than anybody else on the team.
Okay? Matty Basketball.
His 3-point shooting percentage, 28%. Field goal percentage, 39%. Free throws, 68%. He doesn't look real good. Honestly, he just looks And I know this happened last year in the middle of the year. He kind of, you know, he only played 20 minutes against Utah. We're in the third year of the Carlino experiment, and all due respect to Steve Pierce, who I respect as a guy who knows a lot about basketball and spent a lot of time on LoyalCougars.com. By the way, you should check out LoyalCougars.com if you haven't. And he defends Carlino. I understand why. I actually like Carlino, and I'm not a hater of Carlino. But, man, this is just not a guy you can depend on night in and night out. He is extremely inconsistent. And his 5.1 assists per game, which is not bad. Guess who averages also 5.1 assists per game, Matt? Kyle Collinsworth.
Yeah.
I just look at this, and I'm, you know, Carlino is going to be part of this team. You know, as they say, come whatever or high water. Can I say hell? I can say hell on the show. Come hell or high water. He's going to be part of this team, and I'm not saying bench him. I don't know that we have a better option. You know, I don't think Frank Bartley or Skylar Halford is going to come in and play markedly better than him. But don't you kind of feel like the team's going to fall or rise depending on which Matt Carlino shows up that night?
I think that's kind of what we've seen, you know, and we've always, you know, talked about him in terms of this Jekyll and Hyde thing. And I think that's what he is. And I think that's what he will be. You know, when he's hot, he's hot. And he's a lot of fun to watch. And when he's not, it's extremely frustrating.
Yeah.
And it does have an impact on the rest of the team and the team's performance.
Yeah.
But it's just the way it's going to be, and I think the coaches at this point understand that. But they've decided we're gonna stick with it. And I
don't know that there's a better alternative.
No, there's not, and because I think
I wouldn't mind seeing Halford out there with his 3-point shooting, to get more minutes. But again, he's not really a point guard, so I don't know that he's the answer in place of Carlino.
Yeah, we definitely don't have anybody right now to replace him with.
No, I don't think so.
And I don't think we're at the point where, you know, I think that, we got to hit the panic button and go find somebody, and then he sits the bench next year. I don't think that's
going to happen. No, I don't think so either. I mean, I may not be as pro-Carlino as Steve is, but I'm not anti-Carlino. There are other players out there that are, everybody has their ups and downs. His just happened to be way up and way down.
Yep.
And you just kind of have to weather that storm sometimes. The player I'm not worried about, well, Haas, his shooting is down a little bit and things, but I think that'll all even out by the end of the year, is Kyle Collinsworth, man.
Oh, yeah.
12.7 points, 8.3 boards, 5.1 assists, 1.3 steals. The guy is at 47% free field goal shooting, 45% three-pointer, though he's not taken a ton of those. The one thing is he's terrible at shooting free throws. But outside of that, this guy just fills up the box score. We talked about this in our preseason podcast. I mean, I just love watching the guy play. I mean, he was one of my favorite players before his mission, and he is, if not my favorite player on this team, very, very close to it.
I think he's a great asset for the team, and he certainly is. He is fun to watch.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's averages the same rebounds per game as Mr. Austin, and he might be a tad shorter.
Yeah.
You know, 4 inches.
Yeah, just a little bit. Probably giving up a little bit of height there.
Giving up a little bit of height.
And a little bit of sharpness on the elbows.
So, Matt, what chance do you have to beat Oregon here on Saturday night? We're recording this on Thursday evening. I mean, they're a pretty good team. They're a team very athletic. Is this a team we could beat? Or do you think because of maybe our lack of athleticism on the defensive side that we just won't be able to contain them?
I think we're going to have an issue with the lack of athleticism on the defensive side and a little bit of youth in at least one key area. And I think this is a team theoretically we could beat, but I do not think that we will.
Yeah, and Mika's also looking really good.
He is.
For a freshman big man, He's giving what I think you and I talked about. We expected at the beginning of the year, and maybe even a little more.
Yeah, I think there is some room for him to grow. I think he is. He does show. You do see the youth every now and again, and I think that there are some things in there that he'll grow and mature out of, and
some foul trouble, some silly mistakes at times, but then you see that great athleticism, size, just a good basketball head on his shoulders makes one play down the court makes a terrible decision, and the next play you go, wow, you know, this is why he was so highly recruited and so well thought of as a high school player.
Yeah,
so,
good basketball head on his shoulders.
Yeah.
That head looks a lot like Ivan Drago. But and I think the upside is just really tremendous with this guy. I think there's a lot. I think the ceiling for him is still very high.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
I think down the road he's going to be a really, really special player for this program. You know, as he's playing, and historically, I think after he's done, people are going to look back on him for a long time.
Yes. All right, Matt. Now is time for that long-awaited, ever-anticipated, loved by all. Well, maybe not all. That might be a slight exaggeration. Our bowl preview. And we're going to preview every game, Matt.
Oh, boy.
Every game through the 31st of December.
All right, let's do it.
And we'll save the rest of these games for our next podcast. There won't be a podcast next week, by the way. It's Christmas, for the love of all that's holy, people.
Seriously? Right.
Yeah.
We're not, I mean, what would be better than a Rise and Shout podcast on Christmas Day?
I don't know. Ask my wife. I think she could come up with a few things.
I can't think of anything.
Well, you lack creativity. Okay.
I tell you what, I hope that's what I find under the tree.
Okay. All right. Stop it. You're being ridiculous.
You're being ridiculous.
That's true. All right. First up, Matt, the Gildan New Mexico Bowl in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Washington State. And who are they playing? I forget. I don't remember that team. Aren't they the Rams or something? Colorado State. We used to play them on occasion. So Washington State, Colorado State. Washington State is favored by 4 points, according to most Vegas, or 4.5 points, depending on where you look. So Matt, talk to me, man. What do you think about this game? Who do you like?
Washington State wins this game.
That's crazy talk.
I think the Rams are going to be outmatched here.
That's insane. I can't believe you even said that.
Unless, of course, they wear those bright orange jerseys that they did that one time we played them a few years ago.
That would be pretty sweet. I think, Matt, that Washington State wins this as well, and I actually think they cover easy.
Yeah, I don't think this game actually is going to be very close.
No, I disagree with Vegas on this one. All right, the next game up on that same day, the 21st, that's Saturday, it is the Royal Purple. I don't even know what that means.
I think it's a color.
Las Vegas Bowl in Las Vegas, Nevada, or if you really want to tick off people in Nevada, Nevada. Fresno State, ranked 20th in the country, against USC. This is we totally forgot the most important part of the bowl pick thing. Percent chance you watch the Gildan New Mexico Bowl, Matt?
Seeing as that it'll be the first bowl game, 100%. Chances that I watch like at least the first half of that game are pretty high.
Yeah, I'm close to 100%. Yeah. So after that game, the Fresno State USC, that's 11-1 Bulldogs, 9-4 Trojans, who were kind of on a roll and now have a new coach, though I don't believe he'll be coaching that game.
He will not.
Let's look at the line on this game is 7 for Southern Cal. Matt, I'll make my prediction first. I actually think Fresno State wins this one.
So I think you're a Mountain West homer.
Yes, I just said Colorado State's going to get crap kicked out of them. I'm a Mountain West homer. I actually think Fresno State's better than you get credit for, and I think USC has a history of not paying attention in games, bowl games, where it doesn't really matter.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you on this one. Fight on, Trojans.
Oh my gosh. You're pathetic. All right.
You're pathetic.
Percent chance we watch this game 100%.
100%. Because by the time this game starts, the Washington State Colorado State game is going to be pretty boring.
Yes.
And I'm going to have to change over to something.
Exactly. Third game of the day, Matt. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Buffalo out of the MAC, 8-4. San Diego State, 7-5. We love San Diego State, you and I. We're big fans. It's kind of our second team to root for. Second team to root for in some strange universe. So San Diego State actually is, depending on where you look, it's kind of a pick 'em. They're either favored by a point or not. So it's a little bit of a very, it's really funny to me that San Diego State's basically a pick 'em against University of Buffalo. But so Matt, who do you got? And if it's San Diego State, I'm going to kick you off the podcast.
I'm looking for some action.
Yeah, Buffalo!
Potato Bowl, and I got Buffalo over San Diego State. I got Buffalo,
and percent chance of watching this game is nearly zero.
I will not watch this game.
I won't watch any of this game. The nightcap, Matt, on Saturday is the R... Is that R plus L or R and L?
R and L, I believe, is
R and L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. That's Tulane, 7-5 out of Conference USA. Louisiana Lafayette, 8-4 out of the Sun Belt. If I remember correctly, favored in this game is Tulane, or I've also seen it as a pick 'em, but it's seen as a close one. I think that's basically Vegas saying they didn't watch any of these two teams either. So, Matt, who you got?
I got the Raging Cajuns,
Me
my friend.
Me too! We pick them every year!
Yes!
Always pick the Cajuns.
This is, you know, this is an interesting game. Just, you know, you got two Louisiana teams playing in New Orleans.
Yeah,
I think they'll, you know, they may actually sell some tickets here, which is pretty good for a matchup with a middle of the road Conference USA team and middle of the road Sun Belt team.
That's right. Percent chance you see any of this game, Matt?
Probably 85-90%.
Okay.
I don't know what else is going to be on TV that night at 9 o'clock.
I'll probably watch some of this game. I'd put it at 75 for me. All right, Matt. Our favorite bowl game.
Oh, it makes me hungry every time
makes
I talk about
me
it.
Hungry on the 23rd, so that's next Monday. The Beef O'Brady's Bowl in St. Petersburg, Florida. Ohio 7-5 out of the MAC. Speaking of middling teams, and East Carolina 9-3 out of Conference USA. While I look up the line, Matt, who do you got?
I didn't realize the Conference USA was still playing football, but I'm going to go ahead and pick East Carolina here.
Aren't they still playing football?
Yeah, I'm just messing around.
Oh. And by the way, East Carolina is favored by like 2 touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, I've got the Pirates here.
Yeah, I've got the Pirates as well. Sheraton Hawaii Bowl in Honolulu on Christmas Eve. Oh, percent chance to see the Beef O'Brady's Bowl?
100%. I'll watch some of it.
I'll
it's the only game
it.
On that day.
Yeah, it's the only game on. I mean, I don't know that I'll watch all of it, but especially if East Carolina destroys them.
Yeah, I doubt I make it to halftime. But.
Hawaii Bowl, Boise State, 8-4 out of the Mountain West. We're familiar with them. Oregon State, 6-6 out of the Pac-12. They were 4-5 in conference play in that mighty conference. So Matt, I have to say it's on Christmas Eve. There's very little chance I see any of this game. But Boise State is it's kind of a pick 'em. I've seen both teams favored by 3, which I find is kind of weird, but Matt, who do you got in this one?
I've got Boise State here.
Me too.
And I don't really want to pick them. But I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I do, just because you know, that weird beaver head freaks me out. I'll be honest.
But I think it's designed by the same people who did the new Patriots logo.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the floating monster head things. So
it's like the Panthers logo. It's a bunch of those that came out at the same time, and yeah. Oregon State just showed up late.
Yeah, they just showed up like years late.
We've had this tucked away for about 15 years.
Yeah, we're ready.
This is going to be great.
That's right.
It's groundbreaking.
This is awesome.
It's a beaver
teeth.
Head.
Look at those teeth. All right. 2 days later, on the 26th, Merry Christmas, everyone. Little Caesars Bowl. Pittsburgh 6-6 out of the ACC. Bowling Green 10-3 out of the MAC. We've got, of course, the Bowling Green is favored in this one, Matt, by 5.5. Who do you got?
I got Bowling Green. I think Bowling Green really challenged a decent Northern Illinois team.
Yes, they did.
And I don't think Pittsburgh's very good this year.
I don't think they are either. I actually think this game's a blowout for the MAC.
That's good for them.
Hmm.
We've disagreed on a couple of these.
Plus, no one's keeping track. Yeah. Poinsettia Bowl, Matt, San Diego County Credit Union, really trying to go national. Utah State out 8-5 out of the Mountain West, which I actually think they're a pretty good team. And Northern Illinois. Now, this is a game I am extremely excited for. I may watch some of that Little Caesars Bowl. But this is appointment watching for me. I think this could be a really good game. Your take, Matt. And by the way, sorry, I didn't do the line yet on this one. Northern Illinois by just a point and a half. But just a point and a half. Who do you got?
I have Northern Illinois here, which is unfortunate because I think they are a little bit overrated. And this is just going to add fuel to that fire. But I think they beat Utah State in this game.
I've got Northern Illinois. Man, if Chucky Keaton was playing, I got Utah State by like 2 touchdowns.
Right, but that's not the world we're living in right now.
That is not the world we are living in, unfortunately. So the next day, on the 27th, we have the Military Bowl. Starts that day off on ESPN. That's Marshall 9-4 out of CUSA. Maryland 7-5 out of the ACC. Of course, they were 3-5 in conference. So not a great conference year for the Terrapins. Then you've got Marshall favored by a couple of points in this one. Matt, who do you got?
This is a tough one. I really know nothing about either of these teams, so I'm just going to go with Vegas and take the Thundering Herd.
I am going to go against Vegas and take the Terrapins for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Okay.
All right. Texas Bowl. Matt, will you be there in person? It's in Houston.
I will not, but I did think about it.
It's Syracuse, 6-6 out of ACC, and 8-4, surprising Minnesota that their season looked like it was imploding. And they had a nice finish to the year. They are favored, the Gophers, right down the road for me. I am predicting the Gophers to win this one and kind of walk away with it. Matt?
Yeah, I think the Golden Gophers win this one in a romp. And were this not the same day as the BYU game, I'd probably get out there just, you know, get out to a bowl game. But
0% chance I watch either of these first two games.
No. As a matter of fact, after we finish this conversation, I might even forget that Marshall-Maryland game is ever going to happen.
Yeah, there's a very good chance of that for me, too. Okay, so the BYU game we already discussed. The New Era Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium, that's Rutgers 6-6, Notre Dame 8-4. Of course, we are familiar with Notre Dame. They are favored by like 17 or 15 points, depending on where you look. We both got Notre Dame, right?
Rutgers went 3-5 in the American Conference. Do we really think they have any chance at this game?
No. And there's not much chance I watch this game because it will be boring.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, North Carolina in the Belk Bowl, 9-3. Bearcats, 6-6. Tar Heels, also a game that sounds extremely boring to me. Back-to-back, really boring games. North Carolina is favored by 3. Whoopity-doo, I'll take North Carolina.
I'm going to go ahead and also take North Carolina.
Who cares? Russell Athletic Bowl, Matt, in Orlando, Florida. That's Miami, who actually, a team I saw a couple times this year, 9-3. Louisville, ranked 18th in the country, 11-1, got kind of hosed. That's just not that great of a game, or a bowl, I should say. But it actually ends up being kind of an intriguing matchup for them and for Teddy Bridgewater, whether he ends up sticking there or going pro. But they are favored by 3.5 points, Louisville is. Who do you got?
I got the Canes in this one.
Me too.
I think this is not Teddy Bridgewater's finest hour, but I do believe that at the end of this game, he decides to go pro.
Yes, yes. And he should, because he could be the first pick in the draft.
Yep.
Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, also hungry.
Oh, that is such delicious stuff.
And by the way, I'll watch. There's 100% chance I watch the Russell Athletic Bowl. I'll watch that one. Michigan and Kansas State, both 7-5. Both teams that, just kind of there. I'm not really that excited about either team, personally. Kansas State is favored by 3.5. I'm taking Kansas State.
I'm also taking Kansas State. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I dislike Brady Hoke.
This is boring. You keep agreeing with me.
All right. Well, I'll disagree with you on the next one.
And that has everything to do with me not liking Brady Hoke, my pick. Okay, Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl, Middle Tennessee 8-4, Navy 8-4. Matt, I always pick they're favored by 6 points anyway, but I always take the Armed Force team in the Armed Forces Bowl just because, so I got Navy.
And I'm going to disagree with you just for fun, and I'll take Middle Tennessee.
Rock on. All right, so the next game is on also on the 30th, the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. That's a terrible name for a
bowl. That is just awful.
Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. It's terrible.
Are they kidding me?
Yeah, it's somebody needs to fire the marketer on that one. Ole Miss 7-5, Georgia Tech 7-5. Again, two middling teams from good conferences. The line on this one is Mississippi State by 3 or 2, depending
Mississippi State's going to win this game. Yeah, I didn't realize they were in it.
Yeah. Well, that's how bad this
game
is.
What an upset.
That's how bad this game is. Ole Miss, whatever. Some school from Mississippi is going to win. I'm going to pick Georgia Tech just because, obviously, I don't even know who's in the game.
I'm going to go ahead and take Ole Miss. You know, any team that was 3-5 in the SEC has got my vote.
That's right. SEC speed, man.
That's right. Georgia Tech won't be able to handle the SEC speed, but I guess neither can Ole Miss.
Yes, neither can Ole Miss. Valero Alamo Bowl is the, I guess it's not the nightcap, that one. That's the second to last one. This one is interesting. Number 10, Oregon, 10-2, gets squeezed out of the BCS. Texas 8-4, but they were playing better than that towards the end of the season than certainly they had been when they played us at the beginning of the season. Oregon is favored by close to 2 touchdowns, Matt. I don't think it'll be that big of a difference, but I think Oregon wins.
Oregon kills Texas.
Oh, really? You think they just kill them?
Yep.
I think it's closer. I don't think Oregon's going to be particularly motivated in this game.
I don't think Texas will either.
Fair enough. I mean, coaching change. And all that. So, National University Holiday Bowl, number 14, Arizona State, 10-3, against Texas Tech, 7-5. Again, these are a couple of potentially big blowout, boring games. Arizona State also favored by 2 touchdowns. I am taking, as much as it pains me, the Sun Devils.
Yeah, fear the fork. They will kill Texas Tech.
Yes, they will. Advocare V100 Bowl. I don't even know what that means. Shreveport, Louisiana. Arizona 7-5. Boston College 7-5. Who cares? Can I say that? I don't care.
It's the Advocare. Guess what? It's the No One Care
Bowl. No One Cares Bowl. Arizona's favorite, I think, or is Boston College? No, it's Arizona. 6 points. I don't care. I'll take Boston College because we used to live near there.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm going to take Boston College because Arizona was 4-5 in the Pac-12. Come on.
Yeah, but Boston College was 4-4 in the ACC. I mean, ugh. So I won't be watching. I will watch on the 30th. I'll watch the Oregon-Texas game or some of it, but I won't watch any of the others. And on this 31st, I'm not watching Arizona BC, are you?
Well, let me back up. I will watch Oregon, Texas. I will fall asleep watching Arizona State, Texas Tech.
Yes.
And I am highly unlikely to watch Arizona, BC.
Yeah. If I'm even up by then. Hyundai Sun Bowl, that's Virginia Tech, 8-4, 9-3, and 17th ranked UCLA. That one's actually kind of interesting. That's one I'm likely to watch. UCLA is favored by 7. I'll take the Bruins as well.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bruins, but I do think this one's close and will be a fun game to watch.
And in a game rivaling that Arizona-Boston College game for my apathy is the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. 10-3 Rice, 6-6 Mississippi State. They're in two bowl games, man. It's amazing.
It's a busy bowl season for these guys.
It's a busy bowl season. They are favored by 7, some team for Mississippi. We won't tell you which. I don't care. I'll pick Mississippi State.
Oh, here we go, because I'm taking Rice.
Good for you.
I'm going to take the 7-1 Conference USA team over some team that lost any game against anybody important.
Yes, that's fair. Chick-fil-A Bowl, Matt. If this wasn't at 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve, I'm not likely to see a ton of it because of the timing of it. But number 24 Duke, 10-3, number 21 Texas A&M, and Johnny Manziel, and probably his last game in a uniform for the Aggies, 8-4. This is a game, Matt, that I think could be highly entertaining, even if I think Texas A&M runs away with it.
I think Duke keeps this close.
Oh, okay. But you're giving it to Johnny Football.
I'm giving it, yeah, I think A&M wins this game.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, Matt, that concludes. You can take a deep breath.
Whew. That was a marathon.
Part one of our bowl preview. We will come back for the New Year's Day bowl. Let me tell you, I will get on my usual rant of how New Year's Day has been ruined by the morons that run college football.
Mostly because I have to watch a game called the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl on New Year's Day. What's that all about?
Yeah, I mean, there's not enough games. There's not enough games on New Year's. And the fact that UNLV and North Texas are playing one of those games is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that now. But apparently I'm not going to hold that till next week.
No, we'll talk about it again then.
We'll rehash. That's what we do, Matt. We rehash stuff.
Yep.
Well, Matt, this has been fun. This has been fun. Back in the saddle, they say.
It's nice to get back out there again.
Back in the saddle again.
Wow.
Back. Yeah, see? I don't need no editing music.
It was going really well up until that point right there.
No, that's when it took off.
It definitely took off.
To the stratosphere? All right, well, I am hoping I'm wrong, Matt, and that you're right, that we win a shootout, but we'll see. We'll have something to talk about. Definitely our next podcast will I don't know when it will be, but it'll be sometime after the bowl game and between the bowl game and New Year's.
And it will be awesome.
It always is awesome. That's a given. So once again, thanks for listening and downloading. Of course, check out all the great coverage of BYU Athletics at loyalcougars.com. Of course, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you haven't done so, also give us a great rating on iTunes. It could be your Christmas present to us.
Rate early, rate often.
That's right. That's right. Use multiple IDs if you can. But anyway, thanks for downloading and listening. Thanks for your patience in our hiatus of the last month and a half. And we will, of course, catch you next time.
Go Cougars. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. So bring some out here. We wish you a Merry Christmas.